Again, the demigods address the Lord, "All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness, for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who is a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you. And we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet." So in this very beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha, we hear of the death of this great asura. Actually, this verse is the culmination of a very long battle which took place over 63 verses. I checked it. 63 verses of full-on warfare between Lord Varaha and Hiranyaksha. Actually, this battle began way back in chapter 17. There is described that Hiranyaksha, he conquered the three worlds, Bhur, Bhuvash, Vaha, by his prowess. He'd conquered even the demigods. Later on, we'll read how his twin brother, Hiranyakashipu, also conquered the three worlds. And there in a purport, Srila Prabhupada describes that the demigods were actually acting as servants to these two demoniac personalities. Such is life, sometimes these things do happen. So Hiranyaksha had conquered all the devatas, 33 million crores of demigods, save and except Varuna. So it's described in that chapter 17 how Hiranyaksha entered into the waters of the universal ocean to search out Varuna, to conquer him, fight and conquer him. He searched for many years. Finally he came to the kingdom, Virata, of Varunadev. But Varuna, seeing that all the other demigods had been conquered, discretion is the better part of valor, he said to Hiranyaksha, he said, "Actually, I'm not prepared to fight you, sir." He said, "I've grown too old for combat. This fighting business is for the young boys, 16 to 32 or something like that. And after that, you become an officer, a lieutenant, a general or something. You give orders from behind the battle scene. The actual fighting's there, the young boys." So Varuna, he said, "I'm too old now." He said, "I recommend that you approach Lord Vishnu. There you'll find someone worthy of your fighting skills. You can fight Vishnu. And if you fight Vishnu, you've conquered everything." He said, "But I predict that if you fight Vishnu, eventually you'll lie down on the field of battle surrounded by dogs for eternal sleep." He couldn't hear the good advice. So then a great battle took place. Very soon, Hiranyaksha, he took that earth planet, threw it into the Garbhodaka ocean, and Lord Boar, Lord Varaha appeared from the nostril of Brahmaji, and a great battle takes place all the way through chapter 18. Those of you who are residents here at Krishna Balaram Mandir, you'll know. For a long time now, over a month and a half, almost 2 months, you've just been reading about the battle. And part of chapter 19 as well. And finally, with this verse, it's all over. During that battle, it's described that sometimes the demigods, they were a little afraid that the demon might win. Actually, if you analyze it, this is a sign of their lack of pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. They're the demigods of Prakriti Bhaktis, they have mixed devotion. They're devotees of the Supreme Lord, but they don't have full faith because they maintain material attachments, selfish material desire to some degree. They don't have full faith. Rakhi Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Rakhi Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. They didn't have this full faith that Vishnu is the Panamgati, the supreme goal of Asham Urdva. No one is equal to him, no one is greater than him. Ajita, he's unconquerable. So they were somewhat worried, hiding behind the clouds and different planets. Who will win this battle? But in the last few verses we read how just with his little hoof, Varaha killed this great asura, Hiranyaksha. Usually a boar, he uses his tusks to kill his opponent or his enemy. But Lord is transcendental. Brahmasamhita describes that all the senses of the Lord are interchangeable. When we offer bhoga to the deity, he eats through his eyes. His sense is interchangeable, so his bodily parts are also apparently interchangeable. He doesn't need a weapon. When Krishna entered into Mathura, and there was that demoniac worshipman who challenged Krishna and Balaram, Krishna just took his hand, cut off his head. You need a sharp knife, sword. But Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, his body is completely transcendental. So with his hoof, hoofs are used, the boars you see in the forest, they dig like that for the roots in the forest. It's used for digging, not fighting. Tusks are for fighting. With his hoof, he tapped him behind the ear. Those of you boys who are interested in martial arts, there's certain parts of the body which are very sensitive, and if you hit someone there, then you can win the fight. The solar plexus here, behind the ear, if someone gets an injury, a blow behind the ear, you can die. In the nose, if you hit someone straight in the nose, the bone of the nose can go into the brain. These are things that martial arts people learn. So the Lord knows these things. He hit him behind the ear with his hoof, slain. And immediately, the whole universe became joyful. Because Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they were terrorizing not just one province, one state, one country, not even one planet. They were terrorizing the whole universe. Everyone felt their aggressive tactics. So everyone became joyful, and because the danger was eliminated, everyone came at, this verse describes, at ease. And everyone thought, yes, this is just punishment for this demon that he's been killed by the Lord. A just reward for his evil deeds. Nowadays, due to lack of understanding of Shastra and sentiment, there's those who oppose the death penalty, even for a murderer. Even for the most demoniac of men, there are people who oppose what we call the death penalty. Actually, in 128 countries in the world today, which is roughly two-thirds of the countries of the world, including India, they've abolished the death penalty. But really, we call this taking the law into their own hands, because Shastra has a different statement about this. If someone kills, then according to Manasamhita, he must also be killed. Not only our Shastras, but even other Shastras, Christian Shastras also state the same thing. In the Bible, there's a famous passage. It says, "And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." I had to go back way to my childhood when I was going to church. Eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. They paraphrase it sometimes. This is not unjust cruelty, because Manusamhita describes that if someone commits murder, if he simply gets a life sentence, that means in his next lifetime he has to also suffer terribly for the crimes he's committed. But if his life is taken, because he took that life, he's absolved of all that karmic reaction. This is Shastra. So no one should lament the death of great asuras like Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu. They're born to lose. They're born to cause trouble. We shouldn't be naive. Sometimes we talk about the devotees and the demons. Actually, there's a small category of people who are demons. Most people are innocent. They're naive. They're influenced by the demoniac. But there are demoniac personalities. And they're born to cause trouble. Padma Purana confirms that there's two classes of men in this world. Dvabhuta sargolokashmin daiva ashura evacha Vishnu bhakta smito daiva ashura tadvipariha. Famous verse. There are two classes of men in this created world. One consists of the demoniac and the other is godly. The devotees of Vishnu are godly, whereas those who are just the opposite and all that entails are called demoniac. Of the demons, those asuras, those demoniac people like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Krishna says, etam drishtam avashtabhya. Following such conclusions, the demoniac, who are lost to themselves and have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. There's all these conspiracy theories. I don't know the validity of those. I'm not involved in that. I don't read that sort of stuff on the internet. But I do read Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna states that there are a class of men and women, because we're speaking mankind, who are simply bent on unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. What is to be done with such people? Hard for us to understand, actually, that such a class of men exists, because as Vaishnavas, we're trained in a different way. We're trained to see the welfare of everyone, the spiritual welfare. Our sadness in Krishna consciousness is when we see people bereft of Krishna consciousness and thus suffering. And our happiness is to be able to give people the opportunity to engage in devotional service. This is our mindset, as they say, modern vernacular language. This is our mindset. How do we see the people of this world? We see the Lord, we see the devotees, we see the innocent, and we see the demoniac. And when we see someone without Krishna consciousness, that's our sadness. We don't have any hankering and lamenting in this world. We've given up all attraction for sense gratification, having tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness. We're not hankering or lamenting, we're not sad, but sometimes we're sad when we see how people are bereft of Krishna consciousness. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? With a lowly heart I'll go out to preach the divine command. And our happiness is seeing people get Krishna consciousness. But there's another class of men described in Padma Purana and gone into detail in Bhagavad Gita. Their pleasure is at the expense of others. This is a demon. For example, his food. He's very attached to flesh. But flesh means that he has to kill the innocent animal, the poor animals. Not just one or two, but millions and millions and millions and millions are dying every year. What? For the pleasure of the tongue. Often sense gratification is at the expense of others. So this is a demon. And they actually take pleasure in seeing others suffer. Actually, we can't comprehend, but that is the case. So something has to be done. As we go out to deliver people, the demoniac class of men go out to conquer people for their own sense gratification. This creates an incompatible situation in the world, at least in the mind of the Lord. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya tatuskritam. He comes, seeing the situation where sometimes the devotees are also harassed by the demons. Even a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. So, I come to deliver my devotees. I annihilate these rascals. And while I'm there, I also reestablish the principles of religion. Because in this material world, everything is covered over, deteriorated. So Lord comes, by doing one thing, he accomplishes many things. So sometimes it is that these demoniac people, they're very, very powerful. They have to be eliminated. No one should be sentimental. Oh, what is this? Hare Krishnas are advocating death penalty. What is this? No one laments when a dangerous bacteria or virus is killed. Here in Vrindavan, You can get so many different types of little bugs and germs and viruses. Immediately you go to the chemist and you get an antibiotic. Within 2 days of arriving in Vrindavan, I had an infection and a cough and a fever and those little Radharani's purification, okay. But I went to the chemist and I got some antibiotics and I killed those little guys. Because if you don't, it gets, you know, bad turns to worse in Vrindavan. You get a little pinprick on your foot, it's infected, let me tell you now, if you don't put Neosporin and a Band-Aid on it, 2 weeks later your whole foot will be swollen up. So, beware. So who laments when the doctor cuts into the body and removes the tumor? And no one's campaigning outside the hospital. What is this? They're removing this man. So is the removal of such demons, of such caliber, is that actually authorized by our Vedic scriptures? Yes. Seventh canto. Tadyacha manyum asurashtahatas tvadyadi. Prahlad, our guru, the 12 Mahajans. He says, my dear Lord Nrisingadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, that great demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. All the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. So therein, Prahlad mentions scorpions and snakes. Why? Because, can they be killed? Yes. Because of their anger, without any reason, the venom in their body, they bite innocent people. One of my godbrothers, Prabhu, Bengali boy, now he's a man, one of the youngest disciples of Srila Prabhupada, when he was a young boy, he had a twin brother, and they were sleeping in the hut. He lived in a simple village in Navadvip. And one night, he was sleeping in one part of the bed, his brother was sitting other side of the bed, two of them just next to each other. One night a cobra came in, slithered up onto the bed, boom, bit one of the boys and slithered off. And his twin brother died. Identical twins, but he died. For no reason. So we can't be naive. There's people like that too. Chanaka Pandit says that there are seven living entities who should never be awakened unnecessarily from sleep. The serpent, the king, the tiger, the stinging wasp, the small child, the dog owned by other people, and the fool. Chanaka Pandit says, these should never be awakened from sleep unnecessarily. So of these two, the scorpion, or let's say the snake and the demoniac person, let's compare them, which is more dangerous? According to Chanaka Pandit, a demoniac person is even more dangerous than a cobra. He says, sarpa kuru kala kuru. There are two envious creatures, a snake and an envious man. He says, of the two, which are more dangerous? He says, mantra sadhi vasha sarpa kala kena nivaritate. He says, you can subdue a snake by herbs or by chanting a particular type of mantra. But a demoniac man who is envious can never be pacified in any way. Just look at Hiranyakashipu. He was being preached to by a Mahajan. Can you imagine? One of the 12 Mahajans came down and delivered you. My dear young boy, my dear young girl, you were delivered. Such a great privilege. Prahlad Maharaj, one of the 12 Mahajans, preaching to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu would have nothing to do with it. Even Krishna tried to preach to Duryodhana before the battle of Kurukshetra. Duryodhana said, yes, sir, everything you're saying is very clear, but it's like the lightning in the sky. It's there for a moment, it's very clear, then it disappears. So I'm hearing your message, but then I'm forgetting everything. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Sometimes very hard to preach to those who are stubborn sense gratifiers, demoniacs. And sometimes when they're just going around causing trouble here, there, and everywhere, all over the universe, Lord has to come. He's the only one, the final moment, who could deal with them. So how does he do it? He does it with his gada, his club. He does it with his wheel. He does it with his chakra, his chakrapani. Varaha did it with his hoof. Nrisimhadev did it with his fingernails. What you can do with your fingernails? Not much. He did it with his Om, Am, Rim, Shrom, Om Pat, Om Tataka, Hataka, Keshaka Dilat, Padakalochana, Dabarakanaka, Sparsha, Dabashingha, Namostate. That popular verse in the Sringa Bhaktas. O my Lord, O transcendental lion, I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. We come before the deity. It's not just that we're looking at the deity. Deity is also looking at you. You're looking into your heart. Jeto darpana marjanam. By coming before the deity, one's heart becomes cleansed. Therefore, on a regular daily basis, we must come before the deity of Krishna, pray for mercy. He can give mercy through his eyes, he can give mercy through his fingernails. He's so transcendental. Prahlad experienced the glance of the Lord, and Hiranyakashipu experienced the nails of the Lord. But it's not that he simply removed his intestines and his heart, he also removed all his material desires. Because later on, when Nrisimhadev wanted to offer a benediction to Prahlad, he said, Prahlad, what benediction? No benediction, sir. I'm simply happy as your servant. But there's one thing, my pita. Look at my pita. He's all over the What about his deliverance? No, he's already been delivered, Nrisimhadev said, along with 10 generations before you and after you. How? Liberation means what? At least, basic liberation means that nirvana, one has no more material desires. This was the benefit he got, Hiranyakashipu. By the touch of the nails of the Lord, no more material desires. Therefore, he's liberated. This is amazing. Of course, the Lord is not limited in his choice of weapons. There was once a demon called Nemani. And he took a benediction from Lord Brahma as well. It wasn't just Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha who took it. These demoniac persons, they're also at the mercy of higher authority. They don't realize it, but in the long run. They often approach the demigods, they perform penance austerities, and then they'll approach Shiva for some benediction. Sometimes they approach Brahma. So Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they approached Brahma. So another demon, Nemanis, is described in the Sringa Purana. He also approached, and he thought he'd be a little bit smarter than Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. He said, I don't want to be killed by any sword, knife, club, lance, noose, poison. Then he smiled, and he said, and any weapon, no weapon that is wet or dry. No weapon that is wet or dry. So he thought he'd covered all bases. And then he just went on like all the demons harassing, doing conquering like this. So Nrisimhadev appeared in that particular time as well. And he chased this demon. And this demon went into a cave. And he just stood there like, can't get me because I have all these benedictions. So Nrisimhadev thought for a minute and he produced foam. He covered the demon in foam and suffocated him. Because the acharyas commenting on that verse say that foam is neither wet nor dry. This is my point: is the Lord doesn't not limited in his choice of weapons. But actually, what's really amazing in these pastimes is the fate of these demons when they're killed. We're struggling so hard, you know, to rise above the modes of nature. Mam chayo vipichayana bhakti yogena sevate sagunan simatityaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. one who engages, fully engaged in this process of Christian consciousness, who doesn't deviate under any circumstance. He transcends the modes of nature. Prabhupada discusses here, Suddhasattva. He comes to the level of Brahman or spiritual life. We're trying, sometimes up, sometimes down, like a roller coaster. And then we hear how by the mercy of the Lord, some asura, who's caused so much havoc and destruction and misery, by the mercy of the Lord, all of a sudden he's liberated. Poof, he's liberated. What is this? This is something extraordinaire, we say in French. Extraordinaire. Often we see these demons attain salvation. In the previous two verses earlier, in the purport to verse 28, Prabhupada said that the demigods were astonished that the Lord allowed Hiranyaksha to gaze upon his face as he died. Just like we hear the pastime of the departure of Haridas Thakur. What was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? He knew his devotee was going to depart. He knew the moment. Lord is all-pervading. He's in the heart. What was his mercy? That he appeared at Siddhabakul in Puri, that sacred place where Namchari Haridas Thakur was chanting lakhs of rounds every day. But growing older and frail, Mahaprabhu said you can decrease the number of rounds. Mahaprabhu appeared there at that exact moment that he was leaving so that Haridas Thakur, his like you could say his reward, although we never seek a reward in Krishna consciousness. But Lord is so kind. As he was passing, his eyes beheld the lotus-like face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is how he left this world. Who could ask for a greater benediction? The same opportunity was given to Hiranyaksha. It's just incredible. Therefore, Prabhupada said, the demigods were astonished. They were wondering, will I get this benefit when I die? Will I die in some lonely place in some accident and no devotees? How is it? This is astonishing mercy. Devotees are just astonished at the mercy of the Lord. And elsewhere we hear how the souls of Agasura and Shishupal, they merged into the form of Krishna achieved mukti. Of course, we don't want to merge into the form of Lord. We deny that liberation. We simply want to be servants of Krishna eternally in the spiritual world. But there's even more spectacular cases than these demons achieving mukti. The demigods were astonished. But let them hear of another pastime even more spectacular about Putana. Putana, by the grace of Krishna, actually achieved something much more valuable than mukti. She became a personal associate of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. She became one of the nurses. This is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also elaborated on in quite detail in the Brahmavivarta Purana. And it's such an amazing pastime, the deliverance of Putana, that Jiva Goswami also goes at length to discuss it in his Tattva Sandarbha. Those scriptures describe a summary that Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother for 17 years, and he didn't come out. This is a long-term pregnancy, usually 9 months, so you can imagine 17 years. Mother's. Why he didn't come out, Shastra explains, because he was monist. He's a self-realized soul, monist. All is one. What's the difference between inside and outside? No need to be active. Neither materially active, of course, but he didn't know about, quote-unquote, of devotional service, so no need to be active in spiritual life, so just bliss. So Brahmavivarta Purana describes that Srila Vyasadeva started getting upset at 17 years. So he went to Krishna and he asked Krishna, Krishna, please come and tell my son to come out. So Krishna appeared before the womb of the wife of Srila Vyasadeva, and Krishna said, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, now you come out. And Krishna made a promise. I promise that you will not fall under illusion. So Jiva Goswami comments that he was born, he came out, and as soon as he saw the situation around him, it was a griha, householder life, where Prabhupada said there's some concession for sense gratification. Of course, we should never think of Srila Vyasadeva like that, but these are pastimes. He saw the situation. He's in a home, so he was a renunciate, so he immediately ran to the forest. Fully grown, running to the forest. And Srila Vyasadeva, who's the author of the Vedic scriptures, which give great details how we can advance from the very beginning, from the beginning stage, adoshvadhat, tata sadhu sangat, abhajanakriya narta niviti syat, from the stage of, you know, sadhan to prem bhakti, all the rules and regulations. He's thinking, my son's running away. He hasn't performed any shamskaras yet. There's no name-giving ceremony. There's no hair-cutting ceremony. It's my son. I'm Srila Vyasadeva. My son's no reformatory. He said to his disciples, go get him. Now, sir, he's a young boy. He's running so fast. Vyasadeva is very intelligent. You chant the shlokas from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So his disciples, so many of them, began running after Shukadeva Goswami. Of course, Vyasadeva himself tried to run after. He was an older man. He couldn't keep up. And there's the pastime in the lake with the ladies. They didn't cover up when Shukadeva Goswami passed by, but they covered up when Srila Vyasadeva came by. And Srila Vyasadeva stopped and said, why is this? And the ladies said, well, your son is a transcendentalist. He doesn't discriminate. Well, your householder, you have to discriminate. Men, women, does that, so... He is freed of any material desires within his heart, so you are a great householder, so we... So all the disciples are running, chanting shlokas, just like the guru teaches the boys in the ashram. So many shlokas, they're chanting shlokas, shlokas, shlokas. All from the 10th canto. And when they got close to Shukadeva Goswami, because he was a renunciate, and his hair was matted, and here and there, and he was wild looking, they got scared, they thought he was a ghost. Jiva Goswami says, they started running the other way back. But by that time, Shukadeva Goswami had heard the nectarian pastimes of Sri Krishna, as elaborated on in the 10th canto. And he had a change of heart from a monist to a devotee. We often hear how monists, or those who are Brahman realize, come up to the stage of becoming Krishna Bhaktas, like the four Kumaras. You rarely hear, if you ever hear, of a devotee becoming a monist. Well, I'm leaving Krishna consciousness to realize the Brahman. Well, wait a minute. You've reached the top and you're going down to the second level. Oh. We often hear how a monist, or those who are Brahman, realize, well, become a devotee. The four Kumaras, sometime pastime says they smelled the incense offered to the Lord, or they tasted the tulsi leaf, because devotional service is far superior to the Brahman realization. So Shukadeva Goswami, he heard these pastimes. He became in, he turned around. But there was one, Jiva Goswami says, one particular verse which captured his heart and made him run back to live in the ashram of his father, Srila Vyasadeva. What was that one verse, what was that one pastime which convinced Shukadeva Goswami in the Leela to give up his monism and become a Krishna Bhakta? It was the 36th verse of the 6th chapter of the 10th canto. Jiva Goswami says, Pabhyam bhakta hridishthabhyam bhanjabhyam loka bhanditai angam yasha shikam raya bhagavan api tachtanam. It's a very important verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee. And he is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with such great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure, and who offered their milk very jubilantly, with affection, exactly like that of a mother? And our acharyas, they've also, in other shastras also, they've also commented. Such an important verse. So hearing this verse of the mercy of the Lord, Shukadeva Goswami was astonished. When the demigods heard how Lord Varaha had allowed Hiranyaksha to gaze upon his face at the moment of, they were astonished. And of course, these are, you could say, isolated instances of Krishna's astonishing mercy. Not many demons get that benefit, do they? Most of them just get killed, or they get chastised like the Kaliya serpent. He gets chastised. He surrendered. Kaliya, I surrender, okay. But Krishna said, okay, but you can't stay here in Vrindavan. You have to go live outside. So sometimes the Lord's not, his mercy isn't fully manifest like it was for Putana. These are isolated instances of Krishna's astonishing mercy. But nowadays, everyone should be astonished by the mercy of the most recent incarnation of the Lord. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangu Panga Shaparshadam Yagnai Senkatan Prayar Yuntihe Shu Medashaha. That's that same Lord who appeared in Dwapara Yuga and performed all these leads of delivering some of these demons. He's now again appeared in the Kali Yuga. Not in a bluish black form like the Manta, but a golden form. How will I recognize him, sir? Oh, he's always surrounded by his associates who are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And whereas in the previous incarnation, there was one Dhritarashtra who was delivered, in a sense. Now Prabhupada said, so many Dhritarashtras are being delivered. This is the amazing thing. In previous times, there was some distinction made. Lord would mainly give his mercy to his devotees. Sometimes he'd give to his demons. Sometimes he'd give some special mercy to a demon like Putana. But in this day and age, this incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's not making a distinction. Who's pious, who's impious, who's devotee, who's not devotee. He's just going everywhere. Namo Maha Bananaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Govtase Namaha. The most amazing thing of this most amazing thing that the Lord is delivering, not just giving mukti, but he's giving what? He's giving bhakti. And what type of bhakti is he giving? Prem bhakti. He's giving braj bhakti. That's the most amazing thing. He's not just delivering, giving mukti, and not just giving bhakti. There's all types of bhakti. There's ram bhaktis, there's shringa bhaktis, there's just he. Krishna in his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving even unqualified persons, if they become qualified, taking up the practice of Krishna consciousness, he's giving them braj bhakti. That's amazing. But the most amazing of the most amazing, amazing thing is that all of us sitting here, we're recipients of that special mercy. You could say that we're part of the modern day pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow we got counted in by Prabhupada's mercy. Therefore, no devotee should ever get discouraged in Krishna consciousness. No devotee should ever lose hope. You know, sometimes the modes, we mentioned, mamchayo vibhicharina bhaktiyo. That's the ideal situation. Those who are engaged in devotional service, who never deviate under any circumstance, never once does the thought of sense gratification enter their mind, well, that counts me out. They transcend the modes of nature and come to the level of spirituality. Yeah, well, wait about, what about me? I've been chanting 20 years and still my mind wanders off and sometimes the material desires come. Is there any hope? We should never get discouraged. If the Lord's mercy was powerful enough to deliver Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, I don't think anyone in this room can claim to be as have those type of desires. Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Kamsa, Dantavarkya, Shishupal, Jagai and Madhai, if his mercy can deliver them, it can also deliver you. But you have to give that mercy a chance. The sun is shining. Some people stand in the shade. They're all sickly and white. Someone's out in the sun, healthy, has a tan. Not too much sun. The sun is shining. It's up to you to get out of the shade and go into the sun. So we have to take advantage of the process. We have to give Krishna consciousness a chance to work. Just like John Lennon had that song, you have to give peace a chance. We won't talk about that because it's not our philosophy so much. But you have to give Krishna consciousness a chance. And what is that mercy which Lord Chaitanya has given by which we can transcend the modes of nature, come to the level of Brahman, become devotees, and become eternal residents of Vrindavan? What is that mercy that he's giving us? Harinama Harinam, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. Not bhukti, it's not material activity, it's not yog, jnan. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. In the Padyavali, which is the personal verse book of Sri Rupa Goswami, our godmother Kushikata Prabhu actually translated that. And Rasa Bihari Lal, is that the name of the store? Down in, he's printing that book. It's Kushikata's translation. Such a nice book. Just like some devotees have their personal verse books, they write down the verses they like. And so he's printing this Padyavali. It'll be out in a week or two. Such a nice shloka. For those of you who like to chant shlokas, nice. All the verses that Rupa Goswami wrote down that he liked. It's coming out, Padyavali. There's one verse. Oh my Lord, I'm drowning in this fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, just this one time, extend your hand to save me. Rupa Goswami is praying like that. So what is that extension of the hand? What is that mercy which the Lord, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Nahi Anga, the combined form of Radha and Krishna, what is that mercy that they're extending to us? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtanavri krishnasya mukta sanga param. Hey, this age is an age of the ocean of inauspiciousness. Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Pariksit. But there's one good thing left. If you're looking for something nice, don't look far. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. That's the mercy that we've been given. And as many people who take up that mercy, who chant attentively, with reverence, affection, and eventually with love, the whole world will be astonished how these people who have taken to Krishna consciousness have been delivered. One time Prabhupada said, historians will note, they'll write books, how this Krishna conscious movement saved the world. So just as we read how all these demons in the past astonishingly received the mercy of the Lord, people will read how Lord Chaitanya's dearmost emissary, Srila Prabhupada, came to the West and delivered this Maha Mantra. And even Westerners, New Yorkers, people from London, Sydney, Shanghai, Rio de Janeiro, they attained perfection and went back home, back to Godhead. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki.